This is Childhood Matters, presented by Interactive Parenting Media.
Childhood Matters.
For parents and everyone else who cares for or about kids. We are family. Get up, everybody, and sing. Here's your host, Rona Renner.
Good morning and welcome to Childhood Matters. This weekend, many people are reflecting on the past year and thinking about 2011 and what they wish to do differently. It's a good time to formulate goals for yourself and your family, to think about the things you're grateful for and also the obstacles that keep you from making changes. Being a parent is a complex job, and so often we don't set aside the time to develop a plan to help our family life be more satisfying. So this morning, we can think about this together, and a very happy new year to you all. I'm Nurse Rona, and I'm here Sundays to present important topics to parents, grandparents, foster parents, childcare providers, big sisters, big brothers, or anyone who cares for and about children. So think about this past year. What challenges have you faced? And what would you like to change about the way you are with your kids or how you take care of yourself? Are you stressed most of the time and not enjoying your day-to-day life? Do you often skip family dinners and find that you're yelling and rushing around too much? Or perhaps you and your partner just never have time alone together? Or if you're a single parent, maybe you just don't get out with friends. It takes work and patience to be the kind of parent you want to be. Having a proactive attitude of doing things differently rather than just hoping things will change can make a big difference, especially if you're realistic and don't try and change too much at one time. If you want to be part of the conversation this morning, call us 877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-5437. You can also email us anytime and also during the show at info@childhoodmatters.org. We have some nice books to give away and passes. I know it's early, but wake up and give us a call. Joining us in the studio is Julie Kurtz. She's the Chief Program Officer at First Five Santa Clara County. She's responsible for the overall management of the program, communications, evaluation, and community of learning departments. Previously, Julie was a deputy director and mental health director at Kidango, a nonprofit child development agency in the Bay Area. She has 20 years of experience in early childhood and mental health, and she is a licensed marriage and family therapist operating a part-time private practice in the East Bay. She's also the mother of two teenage boys. Julie Kurtz, thank you for joining us and being our first guest in 2011.
Yay, it's great to be here, Rona. Thank you so much.
And your boys are teenagers now.
They're teenagers.
Wow.
Exhausting.
I guess when I first met you, they were a lot younger.
They were little.
Also with us in studio is Dr. Ninana Kweku. He's a consultant throughout the Bay Area offering organizations and their clients counseling, group and meeting facilitation, training, substance abuse education, and anger management counseling. He also works with returning veterans, and he has a passion for working with fathers. When I first met Ninana, he was the manager of male services, including the Proud Fathers Program at Brighter Beginnings in Alameda and Contra Costa Counties. He's the father of four children, three grandchildren, and a mentor to many others. Dr. Ninana Kweku, it's always a pleasure to have you join us in studio.
Thank you very much, Rona. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm very happy to be here participating in this subject.
Thanks, Ninana. Julie, let's start with you. What's been your experience with people making New Year's resolutions, and what can people do to have more of a chance of success when they're wanting to make changes?
I think that the New Year's is just a big, huge, shocking reminder in our culture that we are to make a New Year's resolution. However, I do believe that self-reflection and thinking throughout the year is a really important factor in really being mindful and bringing mindful attention to what you want to do in your own life as well as your family. However, what's really important when you set goals is to set a few realistic, reachable goals. And when they're small enough, you don't set yourself up for failure. You set yourself up for success. And then you reach those small goals and you take a deep breath and you have another moment to reflect and set smaller ones again. And that's what really makes us all successful in setting these goals.
Right, because it's so easy to say, well, I'm going to exercise all the time. I'm going to eat right. I'm not going to smoke. I'm going to do this and that.
Yes.
And then
your laundry
just,
list.
You just go, I can't do this. So then you forget about it. And I like what you said about it's throughout the year. It's every day, every week, thinking about my life and
yes.
what works and what do I want to do differently as a parent. That's really important, and setting those realistic goals.
Yeah, I call it mindful attention. I mean, when we're so busy, we're running around all the time, and we're stressed, like you said in your introduction, Rona. And when we stop for a few moments and think about what am I doing, why am I doing what I'm doing, in my parenting, in my relationships, and with myself, and in my professional world, then we have some time to reflect on some things we want to shift a little bit, and then we don't get caught off guard.
You know, we took a walk, my husband and I think it was New Year's Eve day, and we went to the Berkeley Marina, and I sat on a bench looking out at the bay, and I just needed 10 minutes
yes.
to sit and look, mm-hmm. and I noticed how quickly things shifted for me just by carving out that 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we often forget to do, is making those times to reflect on our lives. So this is good. Ninan Okweku, you've worked with parents and in particular men for a long time. What kinds of resolutions have you seen to be successful, and what does it take to make successful changes?
I think that what Julie just spoke to is setting realistic goals. A continuous self-analyzation throughout the years. It's not just New Year's. You have to be continuously updating, changing. And when you can do that, then you have a better chance of being successful at whatever task you put in front of yourself. I, just like you said, sitting by the water, I find times in my day where I will just drive over to Berkeley Pier and sit down and relax and chill out. And I try to impart that kind of information to the clients that I work with. It's, we form relationships with people that we work with. I do. And so to form that relationship, I need to, for them to know who I am, and I try to get to know who they are. That is the first process in any type of therapeutic community. So, yeah, setting realistic goals, one goal at a time, and just, work on that goal, and whatever part of it you can achieve, then do that and move and then come back and evaluate it.
And yet we all know we've had young children, all three of us, and you have grandchildren, I have grandchildren. You know, realistically, when the kids are, having trouble with siblings and there's discipline issues and you're trying to figure out how to feed them and whether to stop nursing them and all kinds of things, it's so easy for us to lose our sense of center, isn't it?
Oh, it definitely is. One of the things that, have one of my sons here in the studio with us.
Yes.
He's the youngest one. And we, his mother passed away when he was about five. So I had to rethink how my process was going to be from that point on. And it had to be about what was important. And I had to come to the conclusion that, bringing him up in the proper manner, providing safe environment for him to learn, that was the most important thing. It was more important than how much money I could make or whatever. So, just having a relationship with him that I didn't have with my three older kids, it's just a wonderful feeling. And this is the stuff that I try to tell, the fathers that who are having problems trying to, reach that goal.
Yeah, we learn a lot by life's challenges, don't we?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'd like to hear from people this morning. The lines are open, 877-372-KIDS. I'd like to know any challenges you're facing as a parent, what you'd like to change, and we'll be happy to talk with you about it. I think we'll start this morning with Marshall from Santa Cruz. He's with us. Hi, Marshall.
Hi, Rona.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, so let's see. You have how many children?
We have one. He's 15 months old.
15 months old. Okay.
And yeah, we've had, throughout the year, we've had a few ear infections and a couple other illnesses. And, we're basically at this point, we want to get him off of his binky.
off his binky. Aha, the New Year's resolution, no more binky. And are you associating that with the infections?
Yeah, we're definitely thinking that it's playing a role in some of them, maybe not all of them, but a portion of it.
Well, I guess if he's 15 months, you can't talk to him about his feelings about this. and so one of your goals for him would be to have him give up his pacifier.
Yes. And he's doing pretty good so far. We haven't gone cold turkey yet. But.
Good. And where does he use it and when does he use it? And then we'll see what Julie has to say, too. How, you know, like when, at this point now in current time, when can he use his pacifier?
Pretty much when he is going down for a nap. Or for the evening, for his nighttime sleep.
I see. So he's not walking around the house with it. He's not walking around outside with it all the time.
No, but he is. If he gets super fussy and just won't calm down for any reason, then we may go and look for it and try and get it to him. Or if we were not good at putting it away and he sees it, then we're in trouble.
Right. So you've already set limits, which is always the first step, is making real clear ideas about where it's being used. Is he a pretty sensitive child?
He is.
Yeah. Yeah, a little slow to warm up maybe in situations?
He is.
Yeah.
He's sensitive and he's a little bit. You know, timid at first when he's in a new setting.
Yeah.
He warms up pretty quick.
And the binky is comfort. Julie,
yeah.
What do you think about Marshall's
goal? Oh, Marshall, you're not alone. And this is a struggle that all of us face. Our children have a natural desire to self-soothe. And the pacifier is one way that helps them self-regulate and calm down. And I love what you did, that you started with, you can only have it at nap time and at bedtime. Although I did hear you say that occasionally you give it to him if he can't settle down when he's up. And I would wonder about that. I think around the age of 15 months, setting the rule that he can only have it in bed or at nap time or when he goes to sleep is a good rule at this point. But being really strict with that is important because then you can teach him how to handle the situations when he dysregulates. If he gets upset about a situation or he doesn't get his way, then you have to get down to his level and you have to talk with him and help him understand what's happening and help be a comfort to him and talk through what might be going on so he can begin to learn the skills to cope while he's awake. And that would be my advice. And consult with your doctor. If it's causing the ear infections, then you're going to want to slowly wean him off of it. But if it's not, then maybe wait until about 2 years old.
That's really good advice. And I think what Julie's saying is that you have to practice. I remember the same thing with nursing. You know, if my child was fussy, I would just start nursing him or her, and that would ease things. And then when it was time to think about weaning, I had to think about other ways to comfort my child that wasn't around nursing. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing to kind of like increase your toolbox of possibilities. Ninanu, anything you want to jump in here with as a papa here?
Oh, well, I agree that you need to take these things a little slow. And when there's an opportunity to put something else into the equation, I mean, it may mean you may have to sing to the child, okay, come down to that level, right, and distract them with other kinds of things. And I think that works really well.
Marshall, what we're saying, does that make sense to you?
Completely.
Yeah, and I wonder if you and your partner, I don't know, you have a wife involved here? Or partner? Is there another parent?
Yeah, I have a wife.
Yeah. Are you both in agreement about how to do this? Because I find that that's often what comes up, is one parent thinks one thing and the other parent thinks the other thing, and that causes some of the conflict. Are you both in agreement?
We are. And we're working together.
That's great.
And, you know, it's like the doctor said, it's just something we need to take on slowly.
Take on slowly and realize that this is his comfort, and keep teaching him other ways to self-soothe, you know, giving him blankets or singing songs, as Ninana said. And it's such a process with kids. And I think it's also important to keep knowing your own child's temperament and learning. There's a really good website, Preventive OZ, that stands for ounce, preventiveounce.org, and you can do a temperament profile on your child online. You could also find it at our website at childhoodmatters.org. And it's nice to understand your child's temperament and kind of think about what's normal for that kind of child. I have a book here that I found on my bookshelf. I haven't looked at for a while, but I remember really liking it. It's called Parenting by Heart, by Ron Tafel, and it's how to stay connected to your child in a disconnected world. So I'd like to send that to you this New Year's, and I really appreciate your call, Marshall.
Perfect. Thank you, Rona.
Have a great day.
See you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Yeah, you know, I think about how much pressure parents are under to try and, you know, do the right thing. And so often in parenting, we don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
I used to say that I wish that I could press my children's belly button and a printout would come out to tell me what to do in any given situation, because every hour it's different. Reading their cues and understanding what they need and what I should bring to the table and what skills I want to help them learn, and should I let them just cry? Should I attend to them? It is really an overwhelming task to be a parent. It's an art and a challenge.
Yeah. And what do you find, Ninana, with fathers that you've worked with in terms of their sense of competence and feeling like they can step up to the plate and really fully engage in parenting?
Well, as you know, working in the fatherhood program, we run into a lot of incidents where fathers just don't get it. They don't know how to really be effective parents. So, you know, it's kind of like they leave all of the parenting to the mother of the child, and they deal with what they call the exciting parts of dealing with children, you know, taking them out, playing with them, and this kind of stuff. And then once that blows over, they're kind of lost. So, you know, that's what we try to teach them in parenting classes, how to develop relationships so that you can read those cues, that whatever your child needs, and it'll show up. You just have to be attentive enough to understand that. And I think just getting men to understand that it's okay to be that soft, that mellow person that the child can feel secure and allow them to just grow and develop, and you just be there to support whatever comes.
You know, I watch that with my oldest son, who has a 2.5-year-old, and I see his confidence in being that kind of parent that's really bonded and connected with his son. And I think, you know, what a gift that is.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I think that there are a lot of fathers nowadays who do see that as their role, and yet others who don't. And it's a complex relationship between the partners in terms of who's allowed to do what. So I think a good New Year's resolution for fathers listening this morning would be to really stop and look at what is their role and how could they make like one change around what they might do to be more connected in that place. What do you think, Julie?
Yeah, you know, I love what you both just said. I think true for mothers as well. I think the reality is that we are who we are in the world. And when we, for example, I'll give you an example of myself. I'm very active. I'm very task-oriented. And when my kids were little, I found myself constantly grouping them together and taking them on outings. And I wasn't spending any individual time noticing either of my children individually. And so one of the goals that I set for myself was to, this year, guys, we're going to have a special date day with mom, and it's going to be once every 6 months. I tried to set a small, realistic goal. I spent individual time with them, and they were in charge of the date. They got to pick where they ate, where we went, and what we did within a reasonable price that I could afford. And it made a phenomenal difference in my relationship, and that was because I took the time to stop, take a deep breath, think about who I am in the world, wonder how I am as a parent, and try to set a small goal of something I could tweak and do a little different so that I could change my relationship with my kids.
And it really does change things. I mean, I often suggest to parents to do that, you know, even 15 minutes every few days or once a week of special time. If you're, especially if you're having behavioral problems with your kid in some way where they're acting out, special time with them can really turn things around. We're talking about New Year's resolutions. Wake up this morning, call us, and in a moment, we'll talk with you.
Get involved.
Call now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
You're listening to Childhood Matters.
More with Rona Renner after this.
Here's this week's Childhood Matters community calendar with events for parents and kids. Enjoy a self-guided tour of the Marine Mammal Center's Hospital Research and Education Center. See sea lion patients and learn about marine mammals Monday, January 3rd from 10 to 5. For more information, call 415-289-SEAL. That's 415-289-7325. Visit the Outdoor Exploratorium at Fort Mason Center in San Francisco. Enjoy 20 interactive outdoor exhibits and artworks Monday through Friday. Friday 9 to 5. For more information, call 415-EXPLORE. That's 415-397-5673. Check out the edgy and experimental art of mad science at the Sonoma County Museum in Santa Rosa. A special exhibition is on display until February 6th. For more information, call 707-579-1500. That's 707-579-1500. Take a look at the lost murals of Miguel Covarrubias at the San Jose City Hall. Admission is free and running Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. until February 28th. For more information, call 408-920-6070. That's 408-920-6070. Take a walk through downtown Salinas for the first Friday's Art Walk. There will be over 50 venues of live music, art openings, and dance performances Friday, January 7th. For more information, call 831-758-9126. That's 831-758-9126. Have an adventure at the Bay Area Discovery Museum in Sausalito. The museum is offering free admission on Wednesday, January 5th. For more information, call 415-339-3900. That's 415-339-3900. For additional information on events, call 510-663-5437. And to submit information, email info@childhoodmatters.org. I'm Lorenzo Plazola for Childhood Matters.
Oakland Early Head Start home-based program has openings for Oakland residents who are income eligible. Free services to low-income pregnant women and families with children 0 to 3 in their home or place of current residence. Services promote healthy child development, family relationships, health, and family self-sufficiency. Openings available now. For more info, please call the Office of Early Head Start, 510-238-7479. That's 510-238-7479.
We all aspire to live happy and fulfilled lives and raise our children with these values. But the stresses we face day to day can get in our way. Find support with Nurse Rona's podcast, Happiness Matters, with Dr. Christine Carter, author of Raising Happiness, where you'll learn about the science and art of cultivating these values and passing them on to the children in your lives. This podcast is available on our website or on iTunes. For more information, visit us at childhoodmatters.org.
We continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
A very happy new year to you all. Today we're talking with Julie Kurtz. She's the Chief Program Officer at First Five Santa Clara County and a licensed marriage and family therapist in the East Bay. And Dr. Ninana Kweku, a consultant throughout the Bay Area offering organizations and their clients counseling, groups, training, substance abuse education, and anger management counseling. And we're talking with you. We'd love to hear about your goals for the new year, about goals for yourself, for your children. You know, Ninanu, I just, before we take the next call, I just want you to say what you said to me on the break about how important it is to focus also on your relationship and yourself.
Yeah, I think it's really important because most of us, we don't want to admit it, even as adults, that we don't know how to be in relationships. It's a very difficult process because we have to be able to see people the same way we see ourselves. And that's hard because, you know, the first thing we always look at, we always thinking about ourselves and we don't think about the other person's feelings. So it's very important to try to develop your relationships and be open and communicative and try to understand that other people have feelings. And when you have a child, understand that that's a person. That's not a, you know, a thing that you put in a corner. It's a person, and it has a different personality. You can it could be twins, and they still have different personalities, and you have to operate as such.
Right, and Julie, you were saying that importance of developing a relationship with yourself as well.
I think that when we change ourselves, we change how people see us and how they respond to us. And I think sometimes we've been through so much in our lives, or we're so busy, that when we run around busy all the time, we can avoid dealing with the emotions that would be so helpful to pay attention to and address. And when we work on ourselves and set goals around ourselves, we can be better available and attentive and present to other people.
Great. Well, let's take more calls. We'll listen to what our listeners have to say. Wendy in Belmont is with us. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning and Happy New Year to you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Go right ahead. What would you like to say for the new year? Do you have a resolution? Or
Yeah. Well, actually, I wanted to share a quote that I found the other day that I thought that actually has started our New Year's resolution. And the quote was, "People are so worried about what they eat between Christmas and New Year's, but they should really be worried about what they eat between the New Year and Christmas." And so that's really the beginning of kind of my resolution.
Which is?
I'm a firm believer in the power of finding that one thing that can make a difference, or mindful attention, as Julie had mentioned earlier in the program.
Yeah.
And I strongly believe that the one thing that we can do from an eating standpoint that's easy to do is to add more whole grains to our diet, and especially minimally processed whole grains. There's so many studies out there that link the lack of sufficient whole grains to heart disease, diabetes, obesity, behavior problems in children, mood problems in adults, and school performance. And so just trying to sneak whole grains in any way I can into my kids' diets is really what I'm up to this year.
Well, it sounds like a really good plan because it brings mindfulness to what you're feeding them. And I know there are a lot of theories out there, but no one disagrees with the idea that whole grains is a good thing. Or, well, most people don't. There's a lot of gluten-free diets. So there are a lot of possibilities. But I think the idea that you are going to become mindful about what you feed. What do you think, Julie?
I think it's a great resolution to bring health to your family. And I think the wonderful thing is when your kids are young, it's so easy to create those environments. And as they get older, I like you, Wendy, set those same goals when my kids were young. And as they got older, I had to let go more and more. Example, on Halloween, I said, okay, you're in charge of your own body. And my son ate his entire bag of candy and vomited the entire night. But what a natural consequence for him to learn about what his body does instead of mom always telling him. So as they get older and older, you have to let them learn more and more about their own bodies. But while they're young, creating an environment of healthfulness so that your children can learn what to put in their bodies is a wonderful goal, Wendy, and I'm so glad you said that.
How old are your children, Wendy?
15, 16, and 20.
Oh, wow.
And to give an example of, I do believe in the consequences, and I also believe that part of it is just changing behaviors and helping them develop kind of that comfort food is whole grains.
Yes.
So my kids have been exposed to this for many years. But this year, a big change that I made is I'm a big baker. I did not make Christmas cookies this year.
Congratulations, Wendy.
What I did make, though, because, you know, there's lots of sweets everywhere, is an old family recipe that I have that's a granola. But it's a granola that's so sweet, I would never use it during the year.
But you still was able.
It's coated with English coffee. But that's what I gave away as gifts syrup and things like that. And that was our candy, but it was 100% whole grain.
Good.
So there's an example.
You sound like a very mindful mama, so I have a book to send you. It's by Denise Roy. It's called Momfulness, Mothering with Mindfulness, Compassion, and Grace. Thank you for your call this morning, Wendy, and a very happy new year to you. Enjoy your breakfast and lunch and dinner today.
Thank you. Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Pick up the phone and get involved. Call Childhood Matters now at 1-877-372-KIDS. That's 1-877-372-KIDS.
You know, we're going to do a show in a couple of weeks about healthy eating, and I think that it's a big one for New Year's resolutions. And I think, again, realistic goals are important. And I would include your children in these discussions so they learn about nutrition, they learn about themselves, and also that it could be successful if they're on board with it. Let's take another call. We have Barbara with us now from Alameda. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us this New Year's weekend. How old are your children?
Well, they're my grandchildren. I have a 17-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 9-year-old.
Well, so you're a busy grandma.
Yes, after my husband died, I moved in with my daughter to help her with the kids.
Well, that's a wonderful thing that she has you to be in her life and the kids' life.
But I was calling because a couple of reasons. One, the one topic you were talking about, special times with the kids.
Yeah.
Because my daughter's a nurse, a psych nurse, she doesn't get a lot of time with the kids because she has to spend her time resting after dealing with psychiatric patients. But what I do is I won't take Brian and Brianna together. That's a no-no. I take them separately. You know, like one day Brian might go to the grocery store and help me wash my car and run errands, and the next time I take Brianna. So they both get their so-called special. They like it. That's their special time. They get to do what they want. They get to eat what they want when they're with grandma. You know, we'll go out and we go to have dinner. Because I don't let them have junk food, though.
Good.
We go out and we have a nice dinner or a nice lunch, wherever they want to go.
But you've seen, Barbara, that when you have that one-on-one time, no matter what you're doing, it could be cleaning the car, shopping, but it's that connection during that one-on-one time that makes a difference. That's what you've seen.
Especially with Brian, because, see, Brian's an IEP child.
That means that he has special needs, educational needs.
Yeah, it really helps. If it's not me, it's my girlfriend does the same thing. She lives with us, and she helps us with the kids.
That's wonderful.
She'll do that. She takes them one-on-one.
Ninanu, you had a bunch of kids in the house, and you have grandchildren. Do you agree with what Barbara's saying here?
Yes, I totally agree. But, the only part I don't agree on is that both children need the individual time. They may not act that way, but you will find that as they grow, you know, and as they develop, you develop that relationship with them that is just as important for one as it is the other.
Right. And I think, Barbara, you are saying that you spend special time with each of them.
Oh, yes.
That's the key here. And, you know, the reality is, Julie, too, that that's not always possible. I mean,
it's not always possible. But, Barbara, you are a brilliant grandmother that you incorporated in everyday life, special trips to the grocery store, dinners, cooking. It's just fabulous that you do that. And I'm so glad you called to highlight that as an example, because I think we forget to do that in the busyness of life. And the fact that you're there for your grandkids when mom is so busy with work is a wonderful attachment to have.
Yes.
Yeah, well, the thing is, they're so used to it. If I don't do it, they remind me.
But that's good. Yeah. You've trained them well.
Yeah.
Ninanu?
Yeah, I think that's really important that people understand that, you know, kids need that individual attention, and that every opportunity we get to do it, it doesn't matter what the process is or what the activity is. Like, say, washing a car or whatever. You know, I would just, take my son out when he was younger, and I'd say, hey, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
And he said, what do you want to do? And we'd go through this year thing, but eventually he would choose something. He felt unsure of himself, but it also helps him to make decisions about what he's going to be doing.
And in a busy life, sometimes they get choice and sometimes they don't. And that's also very important, too. Barbara, it's so great that you called this morning. I'm going to send you some passes for the Exploratorium. I took my grandson, David, there during the holidays. And I have to say, my husband and I were there for 3 hours. We had so much fun. There's a lot of hands-on, wonderful learning for children of all ages. And it was very exciting. I just forgot my hand wash for germs, and I wound up getting a cold because it was crowded and, you know, a lot of people with colds there. But had I, you know, brought my sanitizer with me, maybe I wouldn't be sneezing this morning. It's a great place, and I hope you enjoy it with your grandsons. You be well, and thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We're going to take a listen now to some other parents talk about their New Year's resolutions.
I'm Associate Producer Lorenzo Plazola on behalf of Childhood Matters, and I'm interviewing some parents about their family changes in the new year. So what are your family goals for the new year?
My family's goal for this new year is to be able to save a lot more money and use this money for fun activities with our children.
We'll definitely spend more quality time together, because for the most part is when as soon as I get home from work, I hit the couch.
Well, for the new year, what we're looking to do is take more family trips, maybe take some bike rides next year, and just mainly do some family stuff of that type.
Are there ways that you react to your kids that you'd like to change?
Yes. Many times she wants to play a game or she wants to do something, go outside and play. And because I have something else to do, I tell her later. And she reminds me, and later really never comes. Because later I have something else to do.
At times I lose my patience and, you know, the repetitiveness of the questions and where are we going, that kind of stuff. Just try to be a little bit more patient and sensitive to my child and make sure that I don't react in a way as if I'm upset.
And as a parent, how would you like to change your methods this year?
I know for sure the five-year-old needs more attention because he hardly eats anything versus the year-old, which I spend more time with him because, of course, he's an infant, and that's taken away time from one into another.
Being so fatigued during this pregnancy, I've been letting my child watch a lot of television so that I can get some rest, and I know that is not the right thing to do. So I hope to be able to change that very, very soon.
If you had a magic wand, what types of behaviors would you change in your child?
I'd like to see my child listen the first or the second time, so maybe be more effective in my communication with my child.
My child is a very happy child. She's full of energy, but she doesn't show that to a lot of people. And I would like her to open up a little bit more and show everybody how fun she really is.
Well, for the five-year-old, if I had the magic wand, it would be for him to be more calmer. He's a jumping bean and he's everywhere right now. For the one-year-old, he kind of gets this temper child every once in a while. But if I had the magic wand, I guess take that away from him.
For Childhood Matters, I'm Lorenzo Plazola.
Thank you, Lorenzo, and let me know if you find that magic wand. Julie Kurtz, before the break, one thing you'd like to respond to. Great, great comments from parents.
I just want to say those comments were so powerful. It makes me feel less alone in my parenting because they're so common. You know, I would say again, focus on changing yourself, not making the goals, things your child needs to do differently. And, you know, don't be something that you're not. Like, for example, my husband would sit on the floor and play with our kids when they were little for hours, and he loved that. I do not like that. I'm active. And the best way that I could be with them was to take them on adventures throughout the Bay Area. And I would spend time with them in museums. And that's what I found was the best way for me. And you have to find the best way for you to spend time with your children based on your temperament.
Yeah, you can't fake it a lot.
Exactly.
Yeah. Ninana, something that you respond to here?
Yes, I totally agree with Julie. You have to find out what's comfortable for you and what you feel good about doing, because the better you feel about it, then the more it's going to come across to the child that you're engaging. They're going to understand that you really are involved, and that's the key. Like I say, it doesn't matter what you do. It's how connected you are to that child so that they understand that this is about me.
You know? And, you know, one of the dads said he wants to be more patient, and I think that's a good goal, but then you have to figure out, how do I remind myself of that? And I think that's where, when you've taught anger management classes and other classes you've taught, Julie, is you have to say, okay, I'm going to observe first when I'm not patient.
And first I'll observe that and see what triggers my impatience. And then I can come up with a plan that I notice when my hands get tense or I start to tighten up, I'm going to do something differently. You kind of break that down. And I thought that was an important thing that one of the parents brought up. And also fatigue. If you're pregnant and you're not feeling well and you have to turn on TV once in a while for your child to have a break, don't feel guilty about it. As much as possible, set limits. We don't want kids watching a lot of TV, especially when they're very young. But at the same time, if things are falling apart and you need that break, it's important not to feel guilty. So I think they brought up a lot of things. And if you say later, when a kid is pulling on you, Julie, and saying, oh, later, we'll do it later, it is helpful to follow up.
It is so helpful to follow up because when you say later and you don't do later, they remember. And then things build up for them. And what happens as a parent is when we are not mindful, we wait till the bomb goes off. And the bomb is the child acting out in an extreme way. And then when they act out in an extreme way, we're forced to pay attention. And we don't want to get to that place.
Beautiful. And I love the honesty of parents. If we could be honest, then we can do something about the things we want to change. In a moment, we'd love to hear from you.
Matters.
Helpful advice, inspiration, and resources for parents.
Get involved. Call 1-877-372-KIDS.
Studies show that spending quality time together as a family boosts children's self-esteem and promotes healthy social development, especially for young children. Here are tips to build quality family time through everyday activities. Dinner is a great time to turn off the TV and spend some time asking your children about their day. Family meal times help teach young children valuable social skills. Also, show your children the importance of play and exercise by taking them to a local playground or park. The slides, swings, and playground equipment are great for exercise and children's imaginations. And use your time together to learn from and listen to your children, even when running errands. For example, while grocery shopping, ask your children questions about their favorite foods. For more information on programs for young children, contact your local Bay Area First Five County Commission by visiting firstfivekids.org/bay. Brought to you by your local First Five.
This is Nurse Rona letting you know that you can connect with Childhood Matters anytime on Facebook, Twitter, and iTunes. Now you can get the latest tips, resources, book recommendations, and share your thoughts with other parents and become part of our virtual community. As always, you can sign up for our podcasts and download past shows, community reports, and interviews. Visit childhoodmatters.org to learn more. That's childhoodmatters.org. And tell your friends.
Are you looking for a great holiday gift for a Spanish-speaking child? Tres Tazas is a true inspiring story focused on teaching children good values related to money, saving, spending, and donating to charity. This book was translated into Spanish by our very own Dr. Marisol Muñoz Kieny, host of our Spanish language program, Nuestros Niños. With beautiful illustrations and a heartfelt message, Tres Tazas is a wonderful gift for any family. Childhood Matters is offering Tres Tazas at a cost of $10 per copy or at a 15% discount if you purchase 10 or more. And thanks to a special arrangement from the publisher and Bank of the West, all proceeds will go to benefit the mission of Interactive Parenting Media, to inform and inspire parents and all who care about children so that every child may be happy, healthy, and thrive. To purchase copies of Tres Tazas, call 510-663-5437 or visit our website, childhoodmatters.org.
Physical activity supports good health whether you're 7 years old or 70 years old. So take Grandma or Grandpa's hand and head outside for a walk. The Health Trust is committed to making sure people, both young and old, can lead long and healthy lives. Visit www.healthtrust.org to learn more about our Healthy Aging Initiative and how you can help make your community healthier.
I think I'll call this man father.
Color him father.
I think I'll call him love.
Color him love.
Said I'm gonna call him father.
Color
with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
Today we're talking about New Year's resolutions, goals, and I think one of the messages about reflecting on your parenting and what your kids need, what you need all year long, is a good goal that maybe you'll take 5 minutes a night and think about your day and think about the day that's coming and the gratitude you have for the people in your life and what you want to change. Or maybe you'll do it every Sunday. It's setting aside time to reflect on your life and what you want. Being a parent is really complex, and it's certainly the hardest job I've ever had, and certainly the most satisfying most of the time. So joining us in the studio this morning is Julie Kurtz. She's the Chief Program Officer of First Five Santa Clara County and a licensed marriage and family therapist in the East Bay, and Dr. Ninana Kweku, a mental health consultant throughout the Bay Area. I'd like to take a listen and have you hear my grandson, David. He was here visiting from Colorado, and he was so excited to come to the studio and talk about his New Year's resolution.
I'm producer Felsha Zuschlag here with 5-year-old David, speaking with him about his insights on New Year's and New Year's resolutions. So what's your New Year's resolution?
I think maybe rock climbing really high.
And how are you going to reach this new goal? Who's going to help you?
Let's see, my rock climbing teachers.
And if you were to make a goal for your parents this New Year's, what would it be?
They getting better at rock climbing so they could help me also.
And how do you think you could help your parents more this year?
Helping take down the Christmas stuff and put it up each year.
And how do you think you could better help those in need this New Year's?
Maybe have more money and like muffins in the car so we could give it to poor people.
And why do you think it's important to have goals?
Because it helps you so you can learn more about the world around you.
And is there anything else you'd like to add?
Happy New Year, everyone.
For Childhood Matters, I'm Felsha Zuschlag.
Oh, thank you, Felsha. And I'm missing him already, hearing him. He's a very wise old soul. And I love when he talked about, his mom explained to me that when he sees people who are homeless, he wants to give them something. So he was talking about baking muffins and having them in the car to give out. Pretty cool, Ninana, huh?
Oh, yes. For a 5-year-old,
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. So let's talk for a minute about helping your children think about goals. It's very different than we say, we want you to keep your room clean versus let's sit down and think about goals. Like, I didn't know what David was going to say, that it was going to be about rock climbing. So I learned something about him. Julie, how can parents help kids think about their own goals?
Well, when you sit down at the table or when you sit down with your kids and you listen to what they have to say and what they're interested in and you ask them questions without imposing all these shoulds and do this and do that, and you take this curiosity about what they're thinking, I think that's why David is so articulate, because someone sits down with him and asks him and takes an interest. And when you do that, you hear such wonderful things out of a child's mouth. And when you model with for your children, oh, mommy's going to work on eating better, you know, what do you want to do? And then you listen and let them say it without judging or without attacking or without correcting. Just be curious and be in awe of what your child's saying, and then just let them go with it and take their lead. And I think that's the best thing you can do in helping them talk about a goal.
Right. And then the next step is to say, okay, here's your goal to rock climb, you know, because he's in Boulder and people rock climb a lot. And how are we going to accomplish it? Yes. That's the other piece.
Yes.
It's the whole learning of how to have a goal and then how to accomplish it that a lot of us aren't so great at, and we're trying to help them learn how to do that.
What a great skill to help a child to think about what they want and then to help them think about the steps they have to take to get there. What a great life skill.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, you know, Ninana, you've worked with people who are dealing with coming back from the war. You've dealt with people who are dealing with domestic violence or alcoholism. I mean, just the whole range of the sort of the struggles that people have as an adult. And I would think that learning
how to have a goal and then accomplish it is a piece that many people don't know how to do.
They really don't. And that's why it's so very important to when your children are young. One of the things I always incorporated into my parenting was, you know, children get busy just like we're busy. And, you know, after a while, they'll be gone and you'll realize that you haven't spent enough time with them. So what I would always do, I always tell my son, I said, look, we haven't spent any time together this week. I want to talk to you. And we would sit down and you know, kids, they don't want to talk about stuff. And I said, well, you know, what happened today? How do you like your teachers? Or what's going on at school? Or do you have a girlfriend? Or what's she like? And you know, and he would kind of like, well, Dad, I don't really want to talk about this stuff. I said, yeah, but I want to know who you are, you know. And I always, you know, push the idea that we have to, this is the way we know who the people are that we associate with. And so when I'm dealing with fathers, you know, or people who come back from the war or whatever, the reality of it is it's about being engaging and being honest. I spoke with a bunch of soldiers who had come back from Afghanistan. And they said that one thing that they want people to know when they are trying to, you know, do counseling with them or whatever, is just be yourself. Don't try to pretend like you know what went on in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. So just be honest, be open, be receptive, but at the same time engaging to give people the opportunity to let you know what they want to do. Or a way I do with my son, and I said, well, look, what is your goal? And he'll say, well, Dad, this is what I want to do. How long do you think you're going to be before you achieve that? Or what process are you going to go through?
You know, it reminds me, what you're saying reminds me of a book by John Bedalament, I think is his name, Dad's The Fatherhood Dilemma or Dad's Dilemma. I don't remember the name exactly right now. I should know it. But in his book, he has questions for you to answer about your children. Mm-hmm. To help you see, do you know their friends' names? Do you know their favorite food?
Exactly.
Do you know, like, really specific questions to help you kind of see what you know and what you don't know? And I think, Julie, that's what you were saying, is that if you carve out that time to ask them right now, parents listening, today, if you have older children, you know, 3 and up, 4 and up, something about their goals, you will learn a lot more.
It's so easy to get caught up in, I've got to teach my kids constantly, and I have to correct their behavior, and I have to tell them what to do. And it's so hard to remember to just sit and say, what did you do today? What do you like to do? Who'd you play with? And maybe not ask a million questions where they're feeling barraged, but just listen.
That's right. And I just looked up the book I was thinking of. It was one of our book club shows. It's called The Modern Dad's Dilemma. And it's a really wonderful book by John Bedalament. And it's for any parent to look and get some real help in figuring out how to set goals and also know who your children are. So as we're finishing up here this morning, go ahead, Ninana, maybe wrap us up and some final words. Here too.
Well, just to piggyback on what you were just saying, we had that as part of our curriculum in our fatherhood program, is to make a list of how well you know your children. You know, from what was your child's birth weight when it was born. You know, we would go down to the scale and we find out that most guys didn't know. If you had 10 things on the list, didn't know maybe one thing about their children. So this, you know, gives us an opportunity to say, okay, this is what you need to engage at. You need to figure out a way to deal with these issues so that you can start to formulate your relationship and what's going to be the future for you and your child.
So a goal for some parents listening, men, women, fathers, mothers, grandparents, is to think about how I know my child and what I don't know and how I understand their temperament and how they're different than me and what makes them tick and also what triggers me.
Exactly.
I think it's a great goal for the next week is to look and see when I get impatient, what's going on and what's setting me off. If people wanted to reach you, should they just contact us or what's the best way?
Well, they can contact you, but they could also contact me at 707-631-0276, or they can go to www.noangernoviolence.com.
Say it, noangernoviolence.com.
Right.
Ninana Kweku, it's always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you for joining us this New Year's.
Thank you, Rona.
Yeah. Julie Kurtz, a final word about this idea of setting goals.
Gosh, I wish I could come up with something that was extreme wisdom, but the reality is the first thing that comes to my mind is really mindfulness. It's throughout the year taking some time to stop and take a deep breath and think about what you're doing as a parent and how you want to shift throughout the year, setting small goals, even writing one down and putting it in your wallet. Because when you write something down, it brings power to it, it brings mindfulness to it, and you can look at it on a regular basis. Do not put pressure on yourself to be perfect, but just take one step at a time.
It's a really good thing. And if people want to know about First Five, your website where you're working is
www.firstfivekids.org.
And it's the number five, I believe.
Yes, right. The number five.
The number five. And people can also go to our website. There's a lot of good resources through First Five. And I appreciate you being here so much.
Thank you so much, Rona.
And I like what you said about writing things down. And don't write down what you don't want to do. Write down what you do want to do and how you could picture things changing. Thank you to our guests, to all of our listeners. I'm so grateful to our team, producers Felsha Zuschlag and Lorenzo Plazzola at the controls, and my gratitude to my children, Pei, Mara, Matt, and Karina. This is Rona wishing you a very happy new year. Remember, spend time with your child, but don't forget to take care of yourself. Childhood matters, and so do you.
You've been listening to Childhood Matters.
Produced by Collins Media Services and presented by the nonprofit Interactive Parenting Media. Join us again for Childhood Matters. Find out more at childhoodmatters.org.